I'll be taking my scripture from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, and we'll start at the first verse, Matthew 11, 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again these things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. It's quite a statement. He was quoting scripture to these men. They'd heard it all before. This is what the Messiah was supposed to do. Are you searching for anything tonight? I can't help but think about the song we just heard. What does it mean to thirst? Does it mean you just need a drink? I think when we think about being thirsty, it's a deeper thing than that. I think it's a more urgent thing than that. When you're thirsty, truly thirsty, you got to have water now. There might be even some health conditions that could pop up if you don't get water soon. That's what it means to be thirsty. Are you thirsty tonight for the gospel? Are you thirsty for what God might have for you tonight? What are we searching for? Are we looking for hope tonight? Are we seeking answers to some questions? Do we need guidance? Maybe you're here because you need forgiveness or healing or that peace that passeth all understanding. Regardless of what you need, we're in the right place. We're going to point you to Jesus tonight because there's nowhere else to go. His word is also a good place to go. In fact, if you go into John 1, they're one and the very same. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. We're going to point you to Jesus tonight. So in this account, we have John the Baptist in prison. If you go into chapter 14, you find out he didn't have much time left. Why did he send these disciples to ask this question? Some would say that maybe John the Baptist had doubts. I would beg to differ. Jesus came to John and John baptized him, even though he wasn't sure he should. And they heard a voice from heaven. I mean, that I would think that would pretty much seal the deal there for me. So I don't think John the Baptist needed to hear one more time, Are you the Messiah? A bunch of young people just went to a retreat. It's kind of like the same thing. It's time for you to believe for yourself. I can only tell you so many times what the Lord can do for you. It's your turn. Go ask Him if He's the one. Was Jesus' response harsh? No. He just told him the truth. Here's what I'm doing. What do you think? Just put it back in their court, really. Go tell John. Go tell him. Was Jesus angry with John the Baptist? I don't think so. Doesn't say anything about that. He didn't berate the disciples. There were certain people Jesus would berate in public. It wasn't them. Does he make a public example of John the Baptist? Actually, he does. He does. We're going to start at verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there is not a risen greater than John the Baptist. He absolutely had something to say about John the Baptist. I'm thankful that we can see how Jesus, even when we have a question, he doesn't roll his eyes. Really? You don't know that? What's wrong with you? He doesn't do that. He's so loving. He's so kind. He's so patient. I'm so thankful for that. I'm sure he's rolled his eyes at me many times. At least he thought about it. Maybe he didn't do it. But John sent his disciples to Jesus. You need to go to him for your answers. I don't have them. I've been pointing to him this whole time, and now you might be my disciples, but now you're his. You need to go figure that out. It's our job to do the same thing. We need to point people to Jesus. Even if they're a Christian friend and they're going through something, bottom line, we can encourage, but we point them to Jesus. We encourage them. We say we'll pray for them. But Jesus is the answer. It's so easy to make just flippantly say that, but it is so true. This brought me, as I thought about this idea, it brought me to another account. It's in John, book of John. We're going to turn to the 4th chapter. This happened way before the account we just read. And I'll just start at the beginning of the chapter. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John the Baptist, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. This was not a common thing to do. The Jews would avoid Samaria. They'd rather go over the Jordan River and then go north and then into Galilee. They would avoid that whole area, which we'll talk about here in a minute. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Their dislike is not the word that you would use to how the Jews and the Samaritans felt about each other. You really could say they hated each other. It was that bad. And so I thought I would do a little search, and I found a really nice article by a pastor in Virginia. And someone asked the question about this scripture. How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans? You know, what is the deal here? Why don't they get along at all? And so he has a very good answer here. When King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon was conquering most of the Middle Eastern world, he used a tactic designed to keep his captives from uniting and rebelling. He'd split them up. So he played a kind of fruit basket turnover by moving large populations of countries to different locations. So when he took most of Judah to Babylon, he resettled other people in their place. Not all the Jews were carried off. The elderly and sickly were left, and many temple scribes were left to care for them. With the country almost vacant, the scribes and other able-bodied people moved into the plantations up into the hills of Samaria. They then intermarried with those who were brought in from another country, so that the Samaritans were no longer a pure Jewish race. 70 years later, when the Jews returned, the Samaritans came to help rebuild Jerusalem, and the Jews called them half-breeds and sent them home. Hence the hatred begins, right? And so what happens is the Samaritans then build their own temple. So now the Jews view that as being a pagan temple, and it just gets worse from there. So there's a big feud. And so that's where this woman is coming from. They didn't get along at all. Today, that area is, you know, most of the world likes to call it the West Bank. The Jews call it Judea and Samaria still, because that's what it really is. You can call it the West Bank all you want. It's not what it is. So, we have chapter 4, and we have this woman and Jesus asking for a drink. And she's going, why would you even talk to me? Let alone ask me to do that for you. Well, Jesus has a plan for her. When he said he was going to go through Samaria, she was the reason. When the Lord comes knocking on your door, there's a reason. When you find yourself in a gospel meeting and your heart starts to beat a little faster, there's a reason. Don't ignore it. Don't say, well, I've done all these things. He certainly hates me. Because that's what she was saying. Don't do it. He loves you. He cares about you. He has an answer for you. So let's start at verse 10. So Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Well, there's a statement. It's got her curious. Who is this person? So the woman asked and said, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence, then, hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well? And drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So in this backdrop, we are finding Jesus isn't here to talk about the water in the well. He's here to talk to her about salvation. everlasting life. He has something far greater for her. She's all in. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Salvation is amazing. Forgiveness, joy, peace. What a plan. Anyone would want that. Oh, but here's where he hits us with something. And this is where some people will turn around and walk away like we heard this morning and go sorrowful or mad. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. And she answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidst thou truly. She has something to do. Salvation costs something. Now, what's it going to cost us? At the moment, it seems like an enormous amount. At the moment, it may seem overwhelming. Once you've paid it, it's pennies. Because all you have is, you realize it was a burden the whole time. You were carrying all whatever it is that you paid, you know, it's just garbage is what you're giving him. And he takes it freely because he has something better for you. But when we have to admit it, when we have to give it, that can be a big stumbling block. But when we offload that stuff and give it to the Lord, oh, what he has in store. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Oh, if she only knew. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know that we worship, for salvation is for the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now, she's asking a deeper question, and Jesus has given her a deeper answer. We worship here, you worship there. What's going on here? And Jesus is revealing to her, there's gonna be grace coming. The law is gonna be gone. Well, not gone. I'm gonna fulfill it. And grace is coming, and you can worship me in your own home. You can worship me. You don't have to go here or there. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Amen. She's been waiting for the Messiah, even in her sin. She knows he's coming. And here's the amazing thing. This is early. This is the fourth chapter of John. The first person that Jesus reveals to that he is the Messiah is this woman in Samaria, a Samaritan woman who the Jews hate. If that isn't living out no respecter of persons, amen. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Amen. What? She must have been speechless. What could she say? Then the disciples show up. They cause a scene for a while. She leaves. She goes back to the city. Come and see a man. I'm going to move on to 29. Come and see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? What's she doing? She's pointing them to Jesus. Amen. And they went. And not only go, they went and heard Jesus and they said, please stay. Please stay. He stayed for 2 days. And they believed. Amen. What an account. That woman had no idea. She's just going to draw water. The Lord will visit you no matter what. You could be doing anything, anytime. And the Lord, if it's your time for Him to visit you, He will. We want to be ready. She knew the Bible. But she needed to know the Lord. And she had the opportunity and took it. So look at our world today. It's amazing what's going on right now. Even on the radio, I hear people say the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and they're talking about the different countries that are wreaking havoc in our world. I mean, people that aren't even schooled in Christianity are figuring something out. They've heard it before, for sure. We have all this confusion, all the circumstances. Maybe you're feeling marginalized like this woman did. Used, worthless, lost, paralyzed by anxiety and fear. Where are you looking for your answers? YouTube? Google? It's time to look to Jesus tonight. You're going to find it. I went to a doctor recently, and so my eye doctor told me, well, you got this thing wrong with your eyes, and there's certain little pumps in your eyes. There's a million of them, and you don't have all a million pumping anymore. I said, oh. He says, don't Google it, he says, because it can be really scary what you read about this. So don't Google it. Just come to Jesus instead. He's got the answer. And you know, when we offload everything, when we got saved, when we got to take that burden off, we look back on that and, oh. But you know, even as we live today, there might be something we're holding on to. As Christians, we've got to let it go. We got to give it to Jesus. He has the answers. I know I'm going long, but I felt like I needed to read this tonight. We have a song that we've heard sung here many times by a good brother of ours. I present you to Jesus. I'm going to read these verses, and then we're going to dismiss in prayer and actually open up the altars in prayer. I present you to Jesus. He's the Son of the Highest. He created the heavens, threw the world into space, put the stars in their places, shaped the mountains and valleys, then made man for His glory. He's the God of all grace. But the evil one tempted, we were trapped by His cunning. We were helpless before Him with no power to defend. But our Maker remembered that from dust He had made us, and He came to our rescue. He's the sinner's friend. I present you to Jesus. Though we sinned, yet He loved us, laid aside all His glory up in heaven above. He was born of a virgin, went to Calvary's mountain, gave his life for our ransom. It was infinite love. But the grave could not hold him, for his power is almighty. Even death there he conquered by his power so divine. Then he rose up triumphant and ascended to heaven. But again he is coming. With glory he'll shine. Last verse, I present you to Jesus, if you'll only accept him. He'll forgive your transgressions. Write your name above. He will share all your burdens. Be your constant companion. He will light up your pathway. And his mercy he'll prove. Though the storm clouds may gather and the stars fall from heaven, though the mountains be shaken and be moved out to sea, he will never forsake you. In his arms he will take you. I present you to Jesus. He, your Savior, will be. The song is 720. Won't you come forward and pray?